We're up to Perakei Mishnah Hay in Maseches Brachos. So today we're going to learn Mishnah Hay, which is the last Mishnah in Perakei, and Perak Vav Mishnah Aleph, which begins a whole new topic in Maseches Brachos. So let's begin with the last part, the last Mishnah of this first part of Maseches Brachos. Says Mishnah, Mispalel V'ta'a, if a person is in the middle of davening, then he makes a mistake in the davening, Simin Rallo. That's a bad simin for what his for his tefillah and what the result of that tefillah is going to be. Vim shaliach tzibur hu simin ra l'sholchav, and if he's a shaliach tzibur, it's a simin ra even for those who sent him. Meaning, if he's a shaliach tzibur, it's a bad simin for the entire congregation when he makes a mistake in his tefillah. Why is that so? Mipnei sheshlucha shel adam kamoso, because when a person is a shaliach of others, so he represents all of those people. So whatever happens to him, it's ki'ilu would happen to all of those people. Where do we know this concept of shlucha shel adam kamoso? So the Tos Yom Tov points out that the Gemara learns it from a pasuk about the Korban Pesach, that the pasuk says v'shachtu so kol, I'm sorry, about the Korban Tamid, that v'shachtu so kol kahal adas Yisrael, that the entire congregation shechted. So devadei lo yishachtim kol Yisrael, clearly not everybody is doing the shechita, elo sheshlucha shel adam kamoso, must be that a person's shliach is like him. So therefore you see shlucha shel adam kamoso based on the din that you can have one person that brings a Korban Tzibur and it represents the whole Tzibur, because there is they're working as that person's shliach. A Korban Tzibur is probably not a great example. It's actually by Korban Pesach is a better example, because it's not a Korban Tzibur, it's a Korban Yachid. Korban Tzibur, one person represents the whole Tzibur. Over here, when it comes to a Korban Yachid, you have one person who's serving as your proxy. Instead of being brought by the Tzibur, it's your personal obligation, and he's helping you fulfill your personal obligation. That's the notion of Shluch Shalom Kamoso. The whole application of Shluch Shalom Kamoso to a Shaliach Tzibur is somewhat curious, because usually Shluch Shalom Kamoso means that I, who have sent the Shaliach, the Mishaleach, does not even need to be present. Meaning, if I send a Shaliach to make a kinyan for me, to purchase something for me, to be Mekadesh Anisha, anything of that nature, I don't have to be there when the person is doing it. When you have a Shaliach Tzibur, usually the assumption is that the Tzibur has to be there, and it works through a different mechanism called Shomea Ka'ona, that I need to actually be listening to what they say, and then it's as if I said it as well. But that's a totally different mechanism. So it is somewhat curious that the Mishnah uses this term of Shluch Shalom Kamoso. So, but nevertheless, that's the term the Mishnah uses, whether it's only using it as a Melitza, or maybe there is some sense of shlichus even by shlich tzibur, and maybe there is some sense of me not having to be there to be present in order to be yotzei on some level with the tefillah of the tzibur. But that's the terminology the Mishnah uses. Amru levar Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, to drive home this point, the Mishnah tells us that they said about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, k'shei mespalel al acholim va'omer ze chayv ze meis. He would daven for a chole, and he'd be able to tell you on the spot, this chole that I daven for is going to live, and this one is going to die. Amru lo, they said me nay not to. How would you know something like that? So he said, if I'm very fluent in the tefillah and I see that it rolls off my lips easily, then I know that the tefillah is going to be accepted. And if it doesn't work out that way, it doesn't flow off my lips, then I know that the tefillah is meturaf, or that it is meturaf, or that he is meturaf. So what does it mean? Who is meturaf? What's meturaf? So Bartanura quotes two possibilities. The Rav says either shachol meturaf, it means that the chol is like torn apart, that he's dead, kamo ach tarof taraf, like when the brothers describe what happened to Yosef, and they say that he was torn apart by a wild animal, so that it's as if the chol has been ripped apart by an animal, he's finished. Pirish acher loshon torfim lo tefilaso befanav. It's a loshon what the Gemara says, that they tear up the tefillah in front of your face. Kolomar hatefillah shespalav mitorefes utrudem menu veinu mekubelas. It's as if to say there's a disconnect between the mispalel and the tefillah, the person who's davening, and the tefillah, that you think this tefillah is going to help you. No, the tefillah is torn away from you. So in the first interpretation of the Rav, the who that's meturaf is the chole. In the second interpretation of the Rav, the who that's meturaf is the tefillah. Now in the Melech HaShlomo, he quotes from Rav Moshe Alshich in the Sefer Tehillim, that when it said that, that's what we mean when we say the pasuk Yil Ratzon Merfi Vagalim Bilef Nach Hashem Tzarev Goali, that you say Yil Ratzon Merfi, that let my tefillah be shkura b'fi, let it roll off my lips easily. Vehegel nibi nachol lefanecha edomea. And if that which I'm thinking and that which I'm feeling in my heart rolls off my lips, then edomea, says the Melech Shlomo, then I'll know ki Hashem tzuri v'goali, that Hashem is going to be there to save me from the tzara, that no tzara should happen to me, if that's what I'm asking about, if it's, I need tzuri and goali, if it's about that which happened to me already, and I need redemption from that which happened to me, so that I know Hashem will be goali, if in fact that which is hegyon libi comes out as imrefi, comes out naturally as imrefi. The Tzach points out that even though the Mishnah tells us that there is this way of being able to tell whether your tefillah is accepted by knowing how fluently it came off your lips, that we don't really do that. We don't make that assessment. Nowadays, we're not out on a madrega to make the assumption that that would actually work for us. Okay, now we move on to Perek Vav. Perek Vav is an entirely new section of the Masechta. Now we're going to talk about particular brachos for particular things, for different types of foods, and for different types of things that we see, whether it be lightning, Berachas HaRe'iyah, all of those kinds of things. So the Mishnah starts, Ketzad Mevarchen Al HaPeiros. How do we recite a bracha on peiros? So it starts with a bracha on fruits. Now the Tosiotov points out the idea that we say a bracha, that's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because it's a svara, that it's asalanus velamazab, below bracha, that you're not allowed to get hanar from this world without a bracha. That's in fact the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara goes through a whole bunch of possibilities of how I know that you're supposed to recite a bracha rishona on food. And the Gemara suggests a number of possibilities that would suggest that it's daraisa, but ultimately the Gemara just says, you know what, svarahu, it's a simple svara, that how could you get benefit from Hashem's world without first reciting a bracha? Then the Tos Yom Tov quotes, Vari Kosov, Dekayad Nan Berkama, Lachtom Vishalo Lachtom, that really earlier on in the Masechta we said that there's those brachos where the practice is to be chosim, to conclude with a bracha, you should do so, and those where the practice is not to be chosim, you should not do so. And once we mentioned the idea of long brachos where there's a chasima, so that got us involved in the discussion of Birchas Kriyashma, so we had to finish the whole discussion of Kriyashma and the brachos and the tefillah that's associated with Kriyashma, and then we're going back to the original topic of shalolachtom, of when there are brachos that the practice is not to be chosim with a baruch. It is interesting, Tosan Sheshem points out on the side of the page that even though we're going to learn about Birchas Ha'achila and Birchas Hashtia and Birchas Hari'iyah and Birchas Hashmia, it doesn't really say much about Birchas Ha'reach, about a bracha on smells. So the Tosan Sheshem writes, even though it's certainly just as old, the halacha that you have to make a bracha on a smell is just as old as these other brachos, that it's part of that same svara of that it's also l'hanas mil mazeh below bracha, but it doesn't get mentioned in the Mishnah because it's not as great of a chiddush, meaning there aren't as many details to be mechadish about it, like the idea that birchas ha'ilan is baruch pri eitz has an exception, it's chutz min ha'yayin, right? The idea that which grows from the ground is baruch pri adam has an exception, because chutz min ha'pas, so those are great chidushim, and that's why they weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. And the idea that there's a bar pri adama, not all vegetables, or maybe it's a machlokas whether it's all vegetables or whether it's bar mine d'shaim on certain vegetables, and even things like re'iyah and shmiya, which are maybe things that people wouldn't realize that one is supposed to recite a bracha, but it should be obvious to everybody that re'ach requires a bracha, and therefore says Tosan Sheshem, that's why Reach doesn't get its own mention. So again, back in the Mishnah, Ketzan Varkan Alperos Ilan Omer Bar Priya Eitz. Fruits that grow on a tree, you say Bar Priya Eitz. Chutz Min Yain, except for wine, Shal Yain Omer Bar Priya Gafin, because you say Bar Priya Gafin and wine. Valperos Haaretz Omer Bar Priya Adama. Those fruits that grow from the ground, vegetables, you say Bar Priya Adama. Chutz Min Apas, Shal Pas Omer Motzi Lechem Aretz, except for bread, because bread is some Motzi Lechem Aretz. Val Yirakos Omer Bar Priya Adama, and on vegetables, you say Bar Priya Adama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bori Mine Deshot. That on greenery you don't say bar pri adama, you say bori mine deshatim. So the Bar Tanura points out that Rabbi Yehuda requires a more specific form of bracha, that al kol min v'min tein lo me'in berchosav, that each min gets its own kind of bracha. So there can't be a catch-all of bori pri adama. So when we say al yirakos bori pri adama, that's yirakos. That, and he also points out that when we say that you say bori pri adama and yirakos, that's if you're eating it in the normal fashion. If it's a vegetable that's normally eaten raw and you're eating
eating it raw, or it's a vegetable that's normally eaten cooked, and you're eating it cooked. But those that are normally eaten raw, and you eat them cooked, or they're normally eaten cooked, and you eat them raw, then you say a bracha of shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. And yirakos that you eat them, whether they're raw or they're cooked, meaning that could be eaten in both ways. A carrot could be eaten both raw and cooked, you say a bar piyadama either way. So again, al yirakos is bar piyadama, but Rabbi Yehuda said bar minei d'sham. So to quickly review what we learned today. So the first mission that we learned is the last mission, the fifth parak, that tells us that if a person makes a mistake in his tefillah, that's a bad sign for him and anybody that he's davening for. And we told the story of Rabbi Chanin ben Dosi used to be able to accurately predict which people he was davening for would be successful and which ones would not be successful based on how fluent the tefillah was. And then in parak Vav, Mishnah Aleph, we learned some of the halachos of brachos, that on Peros Ha'ilan, with one exception, you say Bar Priya Eitz, on Peros Ha'aretz, with one exception, you say Bar Priyadama, and on Yerakos there was a machlokas, whether it's Bar Priyadama or Bar Emine Deshaim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Perek Vav Mishnah Beis.